amazing love. Do you know that God loves you? That He has a special plan for your life? Through His Word and by His Spirit, this program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
The Word of God tells us that obedience is better than sacrifice. The Word also tells us that Jesus learned obedience by the things that He suffered. His heart was to do the Father's will. How many times do we quote John 3:16? But to really think about the words, this is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust Him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to Him. God's obedient Son, tempted in every way, but never, ever sinned. Plans for His children. How we respond to that love, that's our responsibility. Matthew 26 chapter, starting at verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. And then He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with Me." And He went a little beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Yet, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with Me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And He went away again a second time and He prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass away, unless I drink it, Thy will be done." And again He came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then He came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays Me is at hand." Three times Jesus went to the Father and asked about the cup. But He yielded His spirit unto obedience to do the will of the Father. And that's what God is looking for in our lives. Yes, Jesus took our sins to the cross. By His stripes we have been healed. He was rejected that we might be accepted in the Beloved. Jesus tells us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and come follow Him. Sometimes, as new Christians, we think that life is going to be just wonderful. Well, it is wonderful following Jesus. There is a joy, there is a peace. But at the same time, there are those things that go against our flesh and our soul, and we're called to deny ourselves and follow Him in the footsteps of the servant King. Many times we feel rejected, and Jesus, who had given everything, who was the King of glory, had to lay down His life and The Word tells us to lay down our lives too, to lay down our lives one for another, to consider others more important than ourselves. And this crosses our soul area because there's something within us that wants to be important, wants to be noticed, wants to have identity. And yet the pattern son Jesus, he became nothing that we might have everything. The King of Glory came to earth. He laid aside his crown, his royal robes in heaven, came in the form of a tiny baby, grew up as a carpenter's son, laid it all aside to be crucified, to take our sin to the cross. He loved us so much, even felt separated from the Father when he was crucified. What a love sacrifice. And so when things don't go right in our life, we can remember all that Jesus has done for us, and to know that beyond the cross, beyond Calvary, the glory is there. The glory is waiting, for we are just strangers here passing through. Word tells us that if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, he will quicken our mortal body, that we will have our own resurrection day. And even know in this life, the quickening of the Spirit of God within our own flesh. All because of love. Calvary is love. We see the cross as a symbol of his suffering. Man reaching up to heaven. The vertical. The horizontal. Man to man. But before I can touch my fellow man, before I can reach out in love to him, that vertical relationship is the taller pole. It is the way that I must go to Father's love so that I have something for my brothers and sisters. Because within me dwells no good thing. And Jesus, how many times did he withdraw that night? 3 times. Everyone else was sleeping. To go and seek the Father's face. And when he cried out to them, would you not spend 1 hour with me? Their eyes were heavy. They were tired. And how many times does Father want to speak to us? And because of the weariness of this world, we've spent ourselves. We have nothing left to give him. And yet Jesus set the example. He put aside his own feelings. And even after miracles, wonderful things happening, he would go to a mountain, up the mountain, and seek Father's face, spending more time with him. And so in our own lives, as we pick up the cross, those things that afflict our souls, if we take time and go to Father, he will give us the grace. He will give us his peace and his joy to pick up the cross, to pick up the contradiction, to pick up our lives and have the right attitude. Father is love, and it's only his love that's going to help us as we come to our own Golgotha, as our own death to self. Yes, Jesus was crucified that I might have eternal life. That's true. But I have to die that he might live. And that can be a very painful process, and it can take a long time. But I also know that God can do a quick work in our lives if we will yield to him and cry out, Father, by the power of your love, separate my soul from my spirit. As I read your word, I want to walk in the Spirit. I'm tired of walking in myself. not being surprised when fiery ordeals come, and being angry with you, O Lord, but knowing they will perfect me as I yield to your Spirit, as I praise you in the midst of circumstance.
He was a man of sorrows, who wept in human pain. He knew the grief of parting, and his hunger was the same. He felt the sting of insults, and he bore the weight of sin. He humbly drank the suffering God set before him. And it should arrive as no surprise that tears are gonna come if you're called by his name. You should have suffered some. And it should arrive as no surprise that tears are gonna come if you're called by his name. You should have suffered some. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and shame. He was born into the darkness to shine the light of truth. And if the world hated him, the world will hate you too. And it should arrive no surprise that tears are gonna come if you're called by his name. You should have suffered some. And it should arrive as no surprise that tears are gonna come if you're called by his name. You should have suffered. For you'll share in the glory to come. And it should arrive as no surprise that tears are gonna come if you're called by his name. You should have suffered some. If you're called by his name, you're sure to suffer some.
Reading from 1 Peter, 4th chapter, starting with the 12th verse. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. And it does seem strange at times. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. By no means let any one of you suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, or a troublemaker, meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? To suffer for righteousness, not because of our ignorance or bad choice of words or decisions or behavior, but to truly suffer for Jesus, that's an honor. The Word tells us that our spirit, the Holy Spirit, is at enmity with the spirit of this world. So it's not surprising that sometimes without provocation, people will act very strange towards us or antagonistic. They discern the Spirit of God. And the spirit that they have, the spirit of this world, they're at war. So we're not to be surprised at the reactions of others, but to know that it's really not personal. It's that we're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, walking in righteousness, walking in truth, walking in the light. And where we are, the light drives away darkness. And many times darkness does not want to go. People want to stay in their comfort zones, and we make them uncomfortable. People that we used to love, we still love them, but maybe people that we had good relationships with, and we become saved, filled with the Spirit of God, and those relationships just aren't what they used to be. Now, hopefully in time they will be, as those that we care for do come into the kingdom. But initially, sometimes they're disjointed relationships, and even the other person doesn't even know why they feel so uncomfortable with us. But to go beyond that and to know that God is faithful and He's called us to love, to forgive, and go that extra mile, to walk the crucified road, the Calvary road. And it's not easy, but it's victorious. And not to get discouraged. Jesus was never discouraged. And we have the Holy Spirit who encourages us as we walk the walk. And besides that, we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on as we run the race. And the Word tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising shame. And now we know where He is. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will judge the living and the dead. Verse 3 in chapter 12. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. No one said it was easy. But through the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, we can acknowledge our sin and we can ask forgiveness and try one more time. Even St. Paul was discouraged at times, and he said, "Who is going to deliver me from the circle of sin and death? Who is going to deliver us? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus. Jesus will deliver us from that circle of sin and death." So be not weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's getting up every day and saying, one more time, Lord, your word tells me that your grace is sufficient, and you promise to present me faultless before your glory. And I know that on that hill called Golgotha, you gave up everything for me, that I might have everything. How can I thank you? How can I thank you for what you have done? There are not words enough. to follow your example. Obedience. To obey the Father. To hear my Father's voice.
A place inside my spirit beckons from ahead. Sometimes I choose to visit, sometimes against my will. I take the long and sloping road as though I hear some.
To the cross. Reading on in chapter 12, verse 5. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons, and what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Verse 11 of chapter 12, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Sometimes when we're under the discipline of God, He's determined to change us, which He will do, change us from glory to glory. We become resentful. We become angry and rebellious. Don't let that root of bitterness grow in your heart. To believe that God does love you, that His very nature is love, and because He loves us, He corrects us. A wild olive tree is not fit for the garden, but the master gardener who loves you will prune every branch that bears fruit, that we might bear more fruit. At the time, it's painful, but that's where faith comes in. Faith in believing that Jesus took all our sins to the cross, that we have eternal life, that we've been accepted into the family of God. And because He loves us, He desires to change us. Change us into the image and likeness of His Son, who was perfect love and always obeyed His Father, to be a Father pleaser. And obedience is better than sacrifice. And obedience always brings forth blessings. And because Father loves us, He's training us in righteousness. Being trained to rule and reign with Christ Jesus. For someday, the Word tells us that we'll judge the angels. Surely a rebellious son cannot have that responsibility. Only the Son that has the Father's heart. So come, Lord Jesus, and change us. Let my heart be your heart. Let us dance together in the fire of your love and become one. That my will is your will, that my ways are your ways. Come, Holy Spirit, and sanctify me. God loves you with an amazing love. Mary Winchell here.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazinglovministries.org.